Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor. Happy Friday. Is Auburn's bubble bursted, Ben? It feels like.
Is that a question? Did you say, is it? But you.
Yeah, I said, is it? And then I didn't throw it out there 100% as a question. But is it busted? Have we done enough? The bubble's pretty weak. All of that. We're going to talk that. We're going to talk Bruce Pearl getting mad. We're going to talk about NIT. We're going to talk about everything. So, yeah. Auburn obviously falls to Tennessee last night, ending the SEC tournament hopes and dreams. Mm. The bubble up until then was losing all around them. And then the worst thing I think that could happen was Miami of Ohio lost in their conference tournament. Oklahoma's kind of going on a little run, and that's helping them. It's just – Auburn's just not it feels like a coin flip. Do you feel like it's busted, or do they have a chance?
I think with the Miami-Ohio loss, I think it's busted because I don't think – but the problem with that is in that conference. I mean, I guess Miami-Ohio get at large, but the conference champion, they only take one from that conference. So that's going to be the conference champion. So that's not going to be them. So I don't think they punish them since they are basically whatever it is, 35-1.
They should.
They should with the schedule they played. I mean, I told you that ESPN did the mock. No, Barstool.
I don't like that. I don't like that argument. I'm not saying it's your argument, but like I hear that on ESPN, they shouldn't get punished for losing that game. They're not punished for losing that game. They're punished for playing Mercyhurst.
That's the thing.
They're punished for playing three teams on their schedule that ESPN doesn't even have a logo for. They're punished for playing a team whose mascot is a troll. Literally, they're the trolls. Like, they're punished because they only have played two quad two games and zero quad one games, and the rest are 3-4. They're punished because their one chance to seal their fate, they lost to a team that's 209 in net. So I hate it when they say they're punished for losing one game. No, they're punished because their schedule was a joke.
Yeah.
An absolute joke.
And no, you made me think of this, what you and I talked about. We did this discussion before on this type exercise, and you talked me into it because I was using the word deserved wrong.
I think, yeah.
And everybody keeps saying they deserve, or even people. Even the SEC made a pitch last night on X, on Twitter, where they said Auburn deserves. And yeah. You said it best, and you brought this to my attention. People need to quit using that word because now it's metrics. There is no deserve. It literally, the math is there because if you go back to 04, Auburn football, I thought, deserved to be in the national championship game against USC. But the metrics kept them out because we went to the computer system and all we got told was quit talking about deserved. The reason we went to this is so it can be an analytical breakdown of who
takes bias out of it.
It takes bias out of it. And that's what you're doing when you say somebody deserves this. You've implemented bias. That's your feeling. That's not the numbers or the analytics that show why they should be there. And I'll apply that from 04 to now where people go, oh, well, they only lost one game. They deserve to be in there. No, they don't deserve – because they – if that's the case, you and I have discussed this before, then Auburn, Florida, Alabama, they need to literally schedule the weakest opponents possible, get to 20 to 21 wins, so it's a guaranteed lock every year for the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, what criteria determines who plays in this thing?
Yeah,
what's the criteria? It's people are really banging on the losses, but losses don't really, you know, wins and losses don't have that much to do with it. If that's the case, like you said, we're just going to schedule a bunch of bums, and we'll have 20 wins before January, and we'll be ready to roll. You know, that could. So if you're going to have these tools that we've been given to determine, like, weigh in all the different factors, when Auburn fans say Auburn, I see this a lot. We didn't deserve it. what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean when you say that? Because there's a lot more aspects to just Auburn playing basketball. The whole bubble sucks too. The whole bubble is the weakest bubble that there's ever been. You can't look at just Auburn's record and say, oh, Auburn doesn't deserve to be in there. Well, what does their record look like compared to the rest of the, what does their resume look like compared to the rest of the people in the same damn boat? There's a lot of teams in the same boat that Auburn's in. You know what I mean? So
that hasn't played near the competition that Auburn's played.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, I said if Auburn didn't beat Alabama, they wouldn't make the tournament, and I wouldn't be mad if they weren't selected. If they got selected, I'd be fired up, and I still stand by that. I think that, yes, you could make an argument, but you could make an argument on the other side as well. What's going to make me mad, though, is if it's like a – we get over emotional about a team that's like way behind Auburn and net to make it. Like Oklahoma's a good example. Oklahoma's like 47 or so, unless they win the tournament, but they're on kind of a run right now. Unless they, if they get in over Auburn, I'd be like, man, that's kind of, that makes, I know they beat Auburn head to head, but from a schedule standpoint and resume standpoint, it's not really that close. So we'll just see what happens. I don't expect us to again. I think a play-in game versus Miami of Ohio would be electric, though.
I think that would be absolutely electric. Good. John Rothstein has said that numerous times. He said that that could actually it could hurt or help the fact that they now lost, because now that's the thing, is now they're not going to be that auto qualifier. So you can say, hey, let's make them a play-in game, you know, in order to make them happy. And you schedule them up against Auburn, which – you know, you and I talked about that, and I know people, you can't always go by the lines, but Vegas clearly has tall buildings for a reason and are able to pay those off. And that line came out that Auburn would be an 8.5 favorite if they were to play Miami, Ohio. And that, now I get that was 3 weeks ago. I understand.
That would be the best case scenario. I would love to dump truck them and just shut everybody up.
Oh, it would. That coach would have to tuck his tail. Like,
and talk some trash.
Yeah. Now, I'll say, if they upset Auburn, or if they played Auburn and beat them, because Auburn would probably be favored, be bad for Steven. But if I'm that dude, if I'm that head coach, I'm beating my chest in front of everybody going, I tried to tell you. So I'm with you. I'm tired of reading and seeing and hearing this team deserves. This team doesn't deserve. We put the metrics in place for a reason. There's an equation there, so you don't have to wonder if they deserve it. And, you know, this isn't a by chance thing, Kyle. This isn't you went and bought a lottery ticket and you win, and I find out and I go, man, that dude deserves it. Like, that, it's not a chance thing. It's literally, there's no metrics in place for you buying a lottery ticket and you winning. That's not happening. So that's in a game of chance. Yeah, that guy deserves it. That girl deserves it. You know, that they got a good break. Good for them. But in this scenario, it's all spelled out in black and white with numbers.
Miami, Ohio is 64 in net. They're 28-1, so they don't even count. The net doesn't even count like three of their games.
Yeah, the NAIA games don't count.
What a joke. I can't believe we're having this conversation.
And
we'll see what happens. I want to switch gears a little bit, because a lot of people, this Bruce video is getting a lot of traction. Bruce yelling at somebody. Is he yelling at an official, or what? Who is he yelling at?
No, it looks like he's yelling at somebody. Maybe the official clock worker or somebody on the. He's not yelling at
the clock. There was a clock reset controversy, so I'm wondering if that maybe had something to do with it. I don't know.
It was a fan video. It wasn't the television video.
Yeah.
That's another thing. But, you know, I'm going back and forth with a writer right now where he said, bad look for Auburn, bad look for CBS, bad look for the Pearl family. My response to that was, he's been doing this for the last few decades on the sideline and nobody said a word.
Well, here's the thing. And I don't think it's that big of a deal, but he is a television analyst now.
Yeah.
And he is a TV personality, and he's supposed to, even though everybody knows, not have a bias. So I will say that it's not – I think saying it's not a great look for the Pearl family is the most dumb – like, that's so dramatic, overly dramatic.
Yeah.
But from a CBS standpoint, I don't think it's a good look. I did,
when I went back with him, because we were going back and forth, me and this writer, and I said, if you want to make an argument for the CBS place where he's currently employed, I get that. But – the rest of it, what did they expect to see out of him? I mean, you've seen what he was on the sidelines. And when you talk about, oh, well, he's supposed to be unbiased towards Auburn. Dude, he was wearing a football helmet and a jersey before he even coached his first game here. Like,
yeah, like, but to me, that doesn't have anything to do with today. Like, him right, coaching at Auburn.
That's what everybody's saying first, though. It's a bad look for Auburn. And I'm like,
no, it's not. It's not a bad look for Auburn. It's not a bad look for the Pearl family. That's silly. What it's a bad look for is Bruce. If you're going to be on television, that's not a good look. You don't want to be.
I still say though, Kyle, I think this is just a bias towards Bruce of people that don't like him, because back during the tournament, if you remember, Charles Barkley showed up on set as an analyst with an Auburn flag, Auburn gear all around him. Like, I'm not saying that's right to do.
Have you ever seen Charles at a game though?
I mean, I've seen him at a game where he doesn't do, like, he's not screaming and yelling and all that.
Yeah, he doesn't get into it.
But so
very,
is it
very much?
Oh, so here's my thing then: is it only bad when they go negative like Bruce? And so because Charles clearly is cheering,
yes,
for him. Like,
yeah.
So it's when only bad when you go negative. It's,
yeah, I think when you're cussing an official or somebody, I think that's bad. That's a bad look. I just do. When you're I don't think you'd ever see Jay Billis do that at a Duke game. I don't think you'd ever see Kirk Herbstreit do that at an Ohio State game. I don't think, and Kirk Herbstreit's son played at some point in time, I think, for Ohio State or something like that. So I don't think those guys do that. I think if he's just Bruce Pearl and he's not on television, who cares? He's a fan now. Like, go nuts. But when you're trying, then it just makes it hard for anybody to take you serious when you're trying to give a unbiased analyst take when you were just cussing out an official, you know, with your when your son's coaching, you know, the Auburn team. I think that's just a bad look. Bad look only in that particular scenario. Don't think it would reflect on the – I don't think it's a bad look for the family. Don't think it's a bad look for Auburn. If he's not on TV, nobody talks about this, I think. Right.
I even said that to a buddy of mine that texted me about it last night, and I said, wait a second. I said, if he's not on TV, he's a supportive dad taking up for Auburn and his son.
Yeah.
I said, but the fact that he, during Selection Sunday, is going to be on CBS – that's why people have an issue with it. And but I didn't agree.
And I think that's fair.
And I said that to that writer. I said, look, you've got an argument with me if you want to make the CBS scenario case. But just what you just said, if you're upset that he represents Auburn or represents the Pearl family, that's, I think you've kind of overstepped your line at that point in time. And you know what? Who knows how the CBS execs act towards that? They may love it. I mean, they got people talking about it today, so they may have call it Rockstar Pub and be fine with it. And they may pull him into the office and go, look, you can be passionate. You can take up for your son. You can take up for Auburn. You can't BS somebody. You can't call somebody an effing idiot, like, where people can see it on camera. So don't do that moving forward. But as far as your passion, I mean, that's why they hired him. They hired him for his personality and for his passion on the set. Yeah. So they're just going to have to, as they say, it's always easier to slow a train down than it is to speed it up. They're going to have to slow him down a little bit.
I don't know why. I mean, I think I do know why, but Bruce does not seem like the lovable, like the media darling anymore. He seems there's a lot of folks that just don't like him.
Yeah.
And I think it's most of it's politics, if I'm just being honest. Like, I think the media is generally pretty liberal, and Bruce is obviously unabashedly conservative. Mm. So he's an easy target, and he puts himself out there. So I think that's probably got a lot to do with it. But he is not the darling anymore. I mean, especially for somebody just coming off a Final Four run.
Oh yeah,
he is. He's he seems to be almost like public enemy number one when it comes to TV personalities, and you know, it's unfortunate.
He's not even the darling amongst some Auburn fans because of politics.
Yeah,
if you're reading social media, anytime he chirps or chimes in, you'll see somebody with some sort of Auburn avi.
Yeah,
that is like, hey, shut up! This is why you're not coaching. It's like, what are we doing? Like that's not why he's not coaching.
Yeah. So I don't want to dive too far into those waters, but it's unfortunate he's been for the game.
I brought that up to somebody before. I said there's the two types of people that don't like him. The political way that you just mentioned. I said, and the old heads, the people that go back to when he turned somebody in for cheating and then they carried it over into the Tennessee, you know, feeding kids. I said, so anybody 60 plus that hates him, they hate him because of his history, not because of politics. So when those people get loud on social or in the media or whatever, you hear the loud ones first, and you hear the anti-politics and the cheating scandals, and which I've always found hilarious. They're like, he was involved in that cheating scandal. I was like, he turned somebody in. They're like, that's a scandal. I'm like, okay.
And then he had a cookout, and he gave a guy a hot dog.
Yeah. So y'all are mad at him that he told on somebody, and then you're mad at him because he fed kids. And did he lie? Yes, he lied. And you know what? He paid his penance for it. Like he said,
show calls. Yeah.
Show calls. So
pretty bad.
I don't get it. But yeah, I'm with you. The CBS employee, bad look. You start throwing Auburn and the Pearl family in it.
You're being dramatic.
Yeah, you're this is beyond you being upset about what just took place. This is you having some underlying issues elsewhere with him.
Yeah.
If you have a problem with it.
All right. So one of the last things I want to talk about, I've been seeing this from a lot of Auburn fans, is the NIT talk. Like if Auburn doesn't get in, they're probably going to be one of the top, they'd probably be one of the top seeds.
Yeah.
In the NIT. It's been kind of like the cool thing the last couple of years to decline an NIT invite. If you're Stephen Pearl, if you're Stephen Pearl, do you accept that invite or do you decline it?
Who? You want me to speak to you as a media member or as a fan right here?
Both, I guess.
Media member, I'm always against the declining it, because even if you show up with subpar team, if you know, two guys decide not to play in it because they want to sit and they're either done or they're going to work on NBA or what, like media side of me goes, you take it, you know, you work with your future. You may be one and done, but you at least let those guys know, hey, you've got a future with the program, you know, because we've talked about the four with Overton. I'd like to see come back, Sway come back, Jovich come back, and who was the other one that I talked about? Overton, Sway, Jovich. Oh, and Freeman coming back. So if you can let those guys practice and continue to get some continuity with each other, I'm totally okay with it as a media member. As a fan, I would say I'm okay if he turns it down, because I think you got two or three players on there that are just going to say, to hell with this, I'm not going to show up, I'm not going to practice, I'm not going to be a part of it. And so I think Auburn may just get absolutely housed the first game they played, because they'd be in a rotation of about 5.5 players. Mushlick would be one of the starters more than likely, because I just think that – I think Hall's done. I think Tahad is going to transfer at some point. You know, who knows what – Murphy had a great post. I don't know. He may stay and play with them. But
I don't think he gets to – I think he's done. His eligibility's done. Okay. They're going to try for a waiver. I don't know what the heck kind of argument.
In the NIT.
In the NIT.
I think he would too. And so – but I think you would – I mean, Hall and Pettiford, two of your top scorers, would probably be done. I don't know that they would even show up at practice or be involved in it.
If the portal was still the way it was last year, which I think that's why a lot of the teams declined,
Yeah.
Like you had, let's see, you had like Florida State, LSU, South Carolina, St. John's decline in 2024, or somebody, Indiana, Syracuse, Washington. That's because the portal was going on during the tournament. And I get that. You know, you got to be building your team for the next year and you don't really get anything out of it. Now the portal opens after the tournament's over.
Yep.
So it's a little bit of a different scenario. And here's my thing, and this is why I say you do accept it. Because I do think, although you'll lose a lot, there is a core group of guys there. There's a core group of guys there that you'd love to keep. But I think the more time in practice you get to maybe change up your rotations, like maybe, hey, Simon Walker. Is Simon Walker a guy that's you're on the fence about keeping, or is he on the fence about staying? Do you get to give him more opportunities? Kevin Overton, I think he's probably one of your most important pieces that you want to bring back for next year. Do you see what else he can do? Like, give him the opportunity. If Tahad does say I'm out, you know, does he get to run more point? And it's like a Denver Jones situation from last year where he could maybe take a bigger role there.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. You give Jovic 30-plus minutes a game. You give Sway 30-plus minutes a game. You give Freeman 30-plus minutes a game. Let these guys, you know, see what you can come up with as far as a game plan for the next year. And then, like, the one thing we have to not do, I think, is start thinking we're too good for things in basketball. Roy Williams went Elite Eight, Final Four, National Championship, NIT, runner-up.
Yeah.
In his career, okay? He accepted the invite at North Carolina, the biggest blue blood of blue bloods. Yeah. Now, it was before the portal, but it wasn't that long ago.
No.
You know, and so I don't want to get in this situation like we think we're just so – like we're way too good for stuff like this, and you can benefit from, you know, extra time. Stephen Pearl needs more reps. Stephen Pearl needs more game reps. Now, I could also see there's an argument from a Stephen standpoint that's like, boy, everything, there's a lot of heat on me. Do I want to risk going and losing in the NIT? And then even though I'm doing things to build for next year, and it doesn't super matter, but if I lose another game like in the NIT, does it make it that much harder for me to do X, Y, and Z? So I don't know the answer to that question, that part of it. I don't know where people lie there, so it's hard for me to know what the right answer is. But I think if you're cool with that, I would say accept it and work on these 4 to 5 guys and see. – You got to know, hey, do I want to invest in keeping them? You know, I think I want these guys, but do I? Can I go find somebody different? And it's not like you can't be scouting the portal, scouting potential portal entries and doing this at the same time. It ain't like it just takes that much
time. No, you could be scouting teams you're going to play against in the NIT. You could be scouting players. You could be playing against somebody that you may want to go after when the portal.
You can scout during the NIT. How about that?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there you go. I see what you're saying now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's another reason that now with the portal dates move back, this is your opportunity to see players at other places.
Maybe get a little extra dap up at the end of the game. You know what I'm talking about? Like, hey, babe, hello. Hey, hit me up on Twitter.
Maybe reach down and help a kid up off the floor.
Like that handshake line. Maybe you shake a hand a little bit longer. Do what you can.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I got no issue with that.
I want Miami of Ohio in Dayton, man. I want to play them.
Maybe you go sit courtside to watch some of the other NIT games that you wouldn't necessarily watch any other
time. That's so funny. That's still so funny.
So I'm with you.
We'll see what happens.
Auburn play-in game. I think the country needs to see it.
Yes. The world. The world needs this.
The basketball world for sure does, because
world needs it.
I call it the Walmart test. You know, you go down to Walmart and you ask 100 people that walk in what they think about these two teams. But if you did this outside an arena, like people that legitimately follow basketball, they'd be like, oh, that would be epic to put Miami, Ohio. And maybe the committee's thinking that. Maybe the committee is, I mean, they've done that with with bowl selections. They've done that with, you know, things such as that nature.
Oh, they'll build pit storylines together for bowl purposes, for sure.
You and I, big golf fans, how many times did they pair guys together, the PGA Tour?
Oh, yeah.
You want to see them, you know, fight it out.
We think they're going to fist fight on the tee box.
And in golf, that ain't never going to happen, but that's what they want to happen. So, yeah, if the committee gets together Sunday and they're like, we got to put these two teams in. I don't care if it's a play-in game. We got to have them face off against one another and put this to bed. This is what the basketball world wants. And so I'd love to see it. And I don't know that it's going to happen, especially like you said, with other teams making a run right now that were on the bubble that could probably hurt Auburn even more. But I'd love to see it. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to do it for us this week, guys. We'll see what happens on Sunday. Selection Sunday's coming around. I don't expect to hear Auburn's name called, but boy, oh boy, if we could get that play-in game, I may go. I may go to Dayton. That'd be fun. Ben, appreciate you, brother. Another great week. We'll talk again soon. War Eagle.
War Dem Eagle.